Hi, my name is John.
And my name's Chris.
And this is Stay on Target.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Stay on Target. We are your hosts.
You can follow us on Twitter at JohnWright777.
And ChrisWright250. This is episode, I think, 67.
That is true.
If my eyesight served me correctly.
How can you see from that far away?
I have super telescopic vision.
I really don't think I could see from that far away.
We are reviewing... Maybe you need glasses.
I probably do. I probably needed glasses for a long time.
See what happens.
Are yours near or far?
I have no idea.
Actually, this may be a little bit too extreme.
Yeah.
But it's actually it seems like it's better.
Oh, okay. Close your right eye. Is the left eye, does that make it better?
Left eye is actually blurrier.
Oh, really?
Right eye is actually clearer.
That's amazing. That's the one that has my astigmatism in it.
Really? So yeah. I might have astigmatism. That's really weird.
That's amazing.
That's incredible. We've just scientifically solved my eyesight issues.
This is what's crazy. I don't think I've ever been in a situation in which someone said, here, put on my glasses. And someone said, oh man, this makes it better.
Actually, I could see that a lot better.
That's awesome.
That's really weird.
Dude.
That's really weird.
We'll give you an update on that later, folks. This is fascinating.
After we do the, is A better or is B better?
A or B?
A or B?
Please read the fifth line down.
Anyway, we're reviewing Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles this week,
yeah.
And we've also got a ton of Gamescom news. But
yes.
Chris, what have you been up to this week?
Oh, man. So this week, I beat the heck out of Crimson Dragon.
Like, that was a free game this week, right?
It was a free Games for Gold on Xbox One.
Yeah.
It came out, it was a launch game with Xbox One.
Cool.
And it had, middling reviews, so I guess, I think it was, I don't know, Metacritic, maybe a 6, something like that. And,
if it's free, it's still hey, why wouldn't you play this?
Well, but this is the thing, I was always really interested in it, because 6 doesn't necessarily, to me, necessarily mean bad. It means if it pushes your buttons and you like it, you'll like it. And it just means it doesn't have a lot of depth and all that kind of stuff. And, I played it, I always wanted to play it, I was kind of interested in it, and I just wasn't going to spend $20 on it.
Yeah.
And so I downloaded it, played it, I'm holy cow.
But this free is, makes it worth it to
free
you.
Free makes it worth it. And it was great, I enjoyed it a lot. It's an on-rail shooter, but it's an on-rail shooter that once you kind of get the handle on the mechanics and you get your wingman who can fight with you and fly the dragons with you, you can upgrade your dragon and evolve your dragon and buy more dragons. Lots of things with dragons. you can do all that.
Basically, if you like dragons, this game is for you.
Right. And then
I don't know. I was trying to make a dragon sound. What sound do dragons make?
Maybe shoot fire.
Shoot fire.
Smog.
Smaug, you mean?
Not smaug.
Smarg.
Oh my gosh. Smog.
Yeah.
This has a low rumbly voice.
Of Benedict Cumberbatch, yes.
Yes, so maybe that's what they sound like.
With just he did just such a good job on that, man.
Yeah, amazing.
Anyway.
You're flying, it's on rail shooter. It gets really crazy toward the end, but what really got me intrigued was there's achievements, but there's also rewards associated with these achievements. And right now there are challenges, the way that the achievement system works on Xbox One is...
That's right.
The developer can, put up these challenges. You have a certain time period in order to complete these challenges. And so they put, I guess these challenges came up whenever it first released, the first few weeks of the Xbox One. And you can get these nightmare dragons.
Ooh.
They're basically more beefed up, stat heavy, dragons that you can get. And you have to do certain things. And so basically I spent 3 hours grinding the same level over and over and over and over and over again. Cause you had to get the S medals, which is the top medal. I don't know what the S stands for, but S medal. And
that's what it is in Sonic as well, I want to say.
And this is what's crazy. Okay, so get this. So I'm sitting there,
yeah.
And I'm grinding. There was two of the dragons you could get in single player,
yeah.
One of them multiplayer. So I'm just grinding this one level over and over and over and over and over and over again to get these. And I was like, whew, man, got both these. I got to jump into multiplayer. I played a couple rounds, and they were choosing really hard levels, and I'm like,
yeah.
Gosh, why? I don't, this is dumb.
Now, is it co-op multiplayer, or is it head-to-head?
So it's No, you're at this co-op for sure, okay. But you have to like all work together to achieve the medal ranking.
Gotcha. So
if he does badly and I do good, then our ranking goes down.
That kind of sucks though.
And you can have up to three in multiplayer, which is cool. So
that is kind
of
cool.
But still, you know, two of you could do great and one of them you do bad. And, you know, like...
There goes your C.
Exactly. So I did a couple and I'm like, oh man, this is not really working. So I got back out and got back in, hopped into a lobby, and found someone grinding the exact same level.
Nice.
Over and over and over and over and over again.
Until, like buddies.
Yes, until I got the dragon. Like, I wasn't communicating with this person. I actually like tried to communicate with some people in a lobby, and they were all speaking French.
That's awesome.
And so like I had no clue what they were saying.
This is the gaming world we live in.
They had no idea what I was saying. So I'm like, well, I'm just going to unplug this and not try to talk to anyone.
Using Google Translate, I can just see you just like, oh, Siri, translate this, you know.
I did feel kind of bad, though, like, because I ground, and I finally got the dragon. I'm like, all right, well.
And then you bailed
I'm
on the
done.
Dude. Yeah,
and
you
he,
bailed
like,
on
the thing came up again where he wanted to play the same level again, and
oh,
I, like,
no.
backed out.
Dude.
But I don't know. I think he was just doing it for XP because he already had the Nightmare Dragons.
Oh, okay. So he just kind of like knew that level, wanted to perfect
he
it.
He was using one of the Nightmare Dragons.
That's cool.
And so
that's cool.
Well, I don't know that he had the one that I was going for, but we played it enough times for him to have it.
Yeah.
So,
well, because if you got it.
So if I got it, he got it.
Yeah.
Anyway, like yeah. I think it was all good.
Yeah.
I just felt kind of bad because I was like,
So if you were out there in the world playing Crimson Dragon and some dude bailed on you right before you got your Nightmare Dragon, it was Chris.
Yeah, that was
totally
me.
Chris. By the way, I like your shirt today.
Oh, thanks.
Wearing the Viper shirt.
Battlestar Galactica.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Bears.
That was from the site, Battlestar the website.
TFury.com. If you like geek-centric, gaming-centric shirts, you should go to tfury.com. They put up a new t-shirt every single day. They're limited. They're only available that day. I'll put this link in the show notes.
I'm writing that down right now.
Yes. Good call there. They have some really cool shirts like every single day, like almost
yeah,
every
you've
day.
Sent me, you've sent me like some and it's like, it'll be like Mario one day and it'll just be like something completely different. Like this Viper shirt one day, like, you have a Star Wars one with
X-Wing,
X-Wing fighter on it. That,
that says
that was awesome.
Stay on Target on it.
Yes.
Which is awesome.
Which is even better.
In red.
Cause it plugs the podcast.
Yes. And they also like, they try to be relevant. So when Guardians of the Galaxy came out, there were two t-shirts. Sometimes they do like versus t-shirts to see which one will win out. They were both Guardians of the Galaxy, and they were
that's
really
cool.
Like one was Rocket Raccoon. He was like,
of course,
looking
with a gigantic gun.
Yeah,
hopefully.
With a gigantic gun.
Good.
You know, like, and so that's a really cool site. You should check it out.
That's awesome.
What have you been up
that's
to?
That's awesome. Well, I was out of town, and I actually got sick like early this week, and that was one of those things. As the day progressed, I was like, man, I'm feeling worse and worse.
That's gross.
But yeah, no, actually today I was like, yeah, I feel a lot better today. So I was happy about that. So
nice.
But yeah, I was out of the town.
No gaming while you were down?
I mean, other than just playing my DS like in the car whenever Catherine would drive and
they're
stuff
still
like
making
that.
Your way through. Shovel Knight.
Still working my way through Shovel Knight. Still working my way through a few other things like Pokemon and stuff. But yeah, so it was just kind of like I always sit down with that thing and I'm like, what mood am I in today?
Yeah,
you know. And so I just have a decent number of unbeaten games with that I can go through.
There's also a game I've been playing on my Vita.
Yeah,
it's a free game on PlayStation Plus this month. It is Wipeout. Man, I think it's called 4028 or something like that.
Some numbers.
Yeah, numbers, futuristic numbers.
Futuristic numbers.
and I was, it's a racing game, and I didn't expect it to be as good as it is. It's a cross between like F-Zero X.
I was about to ask if it was like that.
Yep, it's like that.
That's awesome.
F-Zero X, like the spaceships or the race cars, like really look like that.
Cool.
F-Zero X, Rush 2049.
Yeah.
And I don't know, like... some other racer.
Dude, that's like right up my alley right there. I love that. That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's the thing about the Vita. I love that it kind of gets all of these like old school Nintendo kind of games,
yeah.
You know, or old school kind of games that it plays really well on and stuff that you can do in a nugget sized, you know, on the go kind of place. So
I can't
really
wait till Shovel Knight comes there.
Dude, it will. They released the sales numbers for Shovel Knight.
Really?
And it actually like, they don't need to do any additional funding to reach their other stretch goals, which would be to put it on other platforms and things like this. So they've sold...
Was it a Kickstarter?
It was a Kickstarter to begin with.
So they're using the profits from releasing it on DS and Wii to right. fund the rest of the system?
Yes. And if I remember right, it was, they sold a ton. They sold and it was about everything minus the Kickstarter, like the wow. pre-orders is what you'd consider. If you kickstart something, they then consider that like a pre-order. So aside from doing like all of that stuff, they actually had enough sales to where they can move on and kind of put it onto other systems that's and amazing. Stuff like that. So that's really good without, cause they were considering, they said, hey, if we don't sell enough or whatever, we probably will do another round of kickstarting to bring it to other, you know, another round of funding to bring it to other platforms.
Yeah.
In which case, like that's best of both worlds for everybody, because it would be like a pre-order, because you already know the game is good, know the game right. exists, that sort of thing. So you're taking on less risk that way.
That's wild, dude.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's pretty cool. Awesome. That turned out like that specific instance.
That specific game. Yeah. That specific one. Yeah, for sure. Because like, you know, I mean, it's such a good game, such a solid thing. And I think it would live really well on like a Vita and, it'd be good just for everybody to play it, you know?
Speaking of Kickstarter games, where is Armorkrog in their development process?
Armorkrog in the development process, they've pushed the game release back into next year. So it'll happen probably spring next year.
Really?
Uh-huh.
Isn't this like the second or third time they've pushed it back?
No, I think they only pushed it back once.
No, I thought they pushed it, like it was supposed to be summer.
Really?
And then I think they pushed it back to like fall/winter.
If that happened, it must have been very early after it got actually funded. Because I want to say that they were considering like a year worth of development. And then now we're looking at like early, like last time I talked to them up in January or whatever, they were looking at, you know, making it to that year mark.
Yeah.
And so I think that they said, hey, you know, have some issues or whatever, or we're wanting to make this a fully fledged thing. Yeah. They were considering shooting some other scenes.
Yeah.
I actually saw an update from Doug Tenapel. He was doing a stop motion, like a cinematic scene, nice. Earlier this week. So,
that's cool. So I mean, it's not necessarily bad. I'd rather have a great game that plays well and, you know, like has great content later than rush it and, you know, not have a good game.
I think it was Miyamoto who said, a delayed game is eventually good, but a rushed game is forever bad.
Very true. Well, we have lots of things to talk about.
Yes, like the TMNT review.
If you want to jump straight to the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles review.
And skip all the goodness that is our Gamescom news update.
But if you don't care about video games.
That's true.
And want to jump straight to the review, you can go to 45 minutes into this podcast and we start the review. But first,
the news!
The news!
All right, so this week there's been a ton out. This is Gamescom, which is basically the E3 of Europe. Like, it happens over there, and it's actually like it's got a higher attendance than E3 because it's open to the public like a lot of the days. Whereas it's not just members of the press and stuff like that. As E3 is. So like they had like press conferences. There's all sorts of announcements. So Chris, Microsoft kicked us off with their press conference. Do you have news from Microsoft?
So my news is more kind of just jumbled all together.
Okay, so we're not gonna separate this. We're just gonna throw it all into the same pot, shake it all around. It's like the magic eight balls where you shake the magic eight ball and an answer pops up. So that's how this news is gonna be.
This is how I view this segment, okay? If people want just a puking of all the Gamescom news, they can just go to the internets.
That's true.
Okay. If they want,
just type in games news into the Googles.
If they want the hand picked cream of the crop news pieces,
that's what I want.
That's what I'm about to give you.
I want the prime cuts, sir.
I'm prime cut beef right here.
This is the best of the
best.
This
is not the slop that gets fed to the pigs.
This is grass fed beef.
Yes, grass fed. Not caged.
Yeah, no, not caged beef.
Yes.
It's organic.
Organic.
No hormones.
Never human trafficked.
No steroids.
No steroids.
Yeah.
Clean.
Clean.
Yeah. So, first piece of information.
Cool.
We're going to start off light here.
Okay.
Light as in mobile games. Valiant Hearts is heading to iOS.
This is crazy. Yeah. I saw this one and I was very intrigued because Child of Light hasn't hit iOS like that. They haven't been doing that. And it's the same kind of, it's the UbiArt engine. Yeah. There's these smaller releases, kind of downloadable releases that Ubisoft has come up with. And I'm excited for it to come to iOS, but Child of Light came to Vita, whereas this is going to iOS, not Vita.
And they haven't really talked about that yet. I would love to see it on Vita, and maybe we'll see it on Vita.
Yeah.
You know, like, but it depends on how well Child of Light did. You know, like, I kind of, like, see this as, okay, well, we released Child of Light on consoles, and then we released it on Vita. Didn't do that well on Vita.
Yeah, I was about to say, wouldn't this tell us how well it did on Vita?
Maybe. It's also a different kind of game, and I don't know if, like,
yeah.
Maybe Child of Light, it's a deeper combat system, deeper AI system. Like, I don't know that that would actually run on mobile games.
I imagine it would run, but the combat system, like, the timing bar and stuff like that, it would look very strange on my phone.
Yeah.
On an iPad, it would probably be a lot better.
Right.
But I had the same thought, where like an RPG like Child of Light would tend to be better on a console handheld with buttons and stuff.
Right.
Whereas kind of a puzzle platformer.
Yeah, you just like, you have move left and right.
Yeah.
Sometimes up.
There's an
action button. Yeah, exactly.
I mean, I feel like that fits very well into the landscape of a iPhone.
Yeah, it does. And that's
iPad.
Basically like the controls for Limbo, which I recently played on iOS, and it was a lot of fun on iOS. And the same kind of thing happens, you know, like where there's not a joystick on the screen where you just move left and right. Like, it's a very organic way to use the touch screen, and I like the way that they're doing that these days. Will you play it again on iOS?
I definitely will. I think so. I mean, what'll it cost? Like $15 on iOS?
They haven't told that.
It doesn't really matter. I mean, this game is worth it. If you haven't played this one, go ahead and play it. But it'll probably be maybe I may revisit this.
Max they can charge for this thing. I'm not saying the max. Okay, the max would be $15. They're not going to do that.
Well, of course. I think I bought it for on console. So,
and that's the thing. Like, you know, Limbo is $15 on console and it's $5 on iOS.
Right.
So I think that it's interesting that they release it this soon after the console version, because that means they've had to have been developing this, like, at least at the tail end of they've known they were going to do this for a while. That's
right.
What I'm saying.
Right.
That's coming on September 4th. So that's pretty soon. This is not Gamescom news, but like also BioShock was announced for iOS as well. The first BioShock, which is interesting. And it's another game that like is not coming to, like, you could put it on Vita.
Yeah. It would go really well on Vita.
And I mean, you know, it's not like, you know, you just like, oh, well, just throw it up on the store. No, they have to do some work.
Yeah.
But like, a lot of other like iOS games have gone from iOS to Vita. And so it's like, how much extra work really is it to put in there?
Well, also you've got with that one in particular with BioShock, I think it was 2 or 3 years ago, they promised BioShock on Vita. It was going to be a unique experience, not BioShock 1 on Vita or whatever, but they promised a BioShock game on Vita, and then nothing has come of that. And so I feel like this would have been a good, solid way to be like, hey, listen, we didn't get around to developing the original game for it, but hey, let's just throw you
Here's
a bone. Yeah, you guys have been asking for this for a long time. Let me just, port this over.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't know. I mean, maybe it'll happen eventually.
Right.
But, I mean, I guess mobile to me is something where I will drop like $10, $5, whatever on an app like nothing. But on console and stuff like that, if I have to, you know, download it, that sort of thing, I take a little bit more time and I deliberate my decision more.
Yeah.
But just because I, like, I'll be sitting somewhere and it's like, you got nothing to do, but I have my phone.
Mm-hmm.
It's and with my fingerprint thing, I said immediately whenever I upgraded to the most recent iPhone or whatever, that the fingerprint thing
5S.
Is the death of me, because like there is no buyer's remorse. There is no like, oh, I gotta enter my password.
Do
or
I really want to do this?
No, you literally just put your thumb on the thing and it's like, it's done. You pulled the trigger. That's, you know, it's gone. So yeah, I mean, it's a, I think that if they charge, you know, $5-$10 for this thing for Valiant Hearts, that's a solid price range that I would just a no brainer, you know, for sure.
Yeah. I think it'll be $5. Oh, well, BioShock, I don't know, man.
What do you think BioShock will be?
I think both of them need to be $5.
Do you think BioShock needs to be $5?
I mean, are you going to buy, like, the only games that I see on the App Store that are $15 are, like, the Final Fantasy games.
Gotcha.
And not all of them are that price. Some of them are, some of them aren't. Like, I mean, $5 is a sweet spot, at least for me personally. Like, if BioShock is not $5, I will not buy it.
You know, it's kind of one of those things where BioShock doesn't have the opportunity for in-app purchases. So it's like, and other games that are similar to that that don't have in-app purchases, I will justify spending more than $5 on them.
Maybe.
But
I mean, I'd rather just play it on console then.
Yeah, no, that's where I'm at with BioShock. But, you know, just because the triggers and the controller and, like, yeah. putting my fingers all over that screen, and right. it just would take me out of it a little bit. But that's just my opinion. It's going to sell great. And, yeah.
Next piece of news. Rise of the Tomb Raider is an Xbox One exclusive. Although, then we learned today that it's a timed exclusive.
Yes, and that was interesting because they didn't say timed exclusive no. on stage. Like, they really didn't.
But neither did Sony whenever they released, talked about No Man's Sky at E3. That's true. And it's a timed exclusive.
That's true. And actually, this was, I mean, I don't know exactly how timed it is, because I think it's going to be at least a year.
Phil Spencer said that it's going to be a timed exclusive, kind of like Rise and what was the other one?
Dead Rising.
Yes, Dead Rising 3. And they're both on, I guess, PC now.
Yes.
Which I never thought, like, because, like, Halo was on PC.
Right.
I never thought that, like, oh, man, if it's PC, it's multi-platform, but I guess it is. Like, that means it's not exclusive to
Microsoft considers it, I guess, because they're two separate, I guess, businesses for them is yeah. the PC business versus the Microsoft business. Yeah. I don't know.
So who knows? I thought it
but
was
they still haven't come to PlayStation or anything. PS.
No, like, no. So. No. I mean, but that's not true. I don't think we can rule that out though.
Right.
The crazy thing about this is that, so we reviewed, and we'll put this in the podcast. We reviewed Tomb Raider, the definitive edition that just came out, on PS4 and Xbox One, and the PS4 version ran better, looked smoother, like had a higher frame rate. Like it was,
well, we compared
it was
the two
versions. More definitive version.
Yeah.
And then I think this was kind of Microsoft's response to that, saying, okay, well, there was a big hubbub about how much better it looked on PS4. So, like, let's just not even let it get on PS4.
Well, like, then I guess after in June, they released the new development kit where they freed up all of the available RAM for developers to use.
Yeah.
And so I think that you might be right where it's like, hey, we didn't do the right thing here. We didn't have our minds on straight where we had, you know, we weren't focused on the game and giving developers the most competitive, I guess,
tools.
Yeah. And so I think now maybe that they've changed their mind where they've said, hey, listen, we're going to give them all the tools. And then on this first Tomb Raider, we're going to go back and we want all of the access so we can just knock everybody, you know, knock their socks off or yeah. whatever. So it's like, I feel like we're going to get a really definitive version of this upcoming Rise of the Tomb Raider mm-hmm. because they've given them all the tools. And so Microsoft will then prove that maybe their system is more powerful than people first thought.
I'll tell you where I think this also came from. Whenever the first Tomb Raider was released, it sold like big numbers. Square Enix still considered it a failure because they thought it was going to sell bonkers numbers.
That's right.
I'm using these adjectives because I don't remember the actual numbers. So it sold big. They wanted bonkers. It didn't go bonkers, so they saw failure. And
that's harsh, Chris.
Well, it was harsh of them. It's
yeah,
like,
it's harsh self-judgment.
You had a really good selling game, and you have said, this is a failure. And so that's yeah. why I think like they spent a little more development costs to get it on next gen to kind of make more money off of it. And then whenever Microsoft's there saying, here's a pile of money, just make it exclusive to our platform, Square Enix is like, sure.
No brainer.
This is the money we wanted to make from the first one anyway.
Right.
You know, because, I mean, by making these things, especially something that is as popular as Tomb Raider, making it a platform exclusive, even a timed exclusive, is not cheap.
No, not at all.
And Microsoft is really just stepping it up in this area. Like, they know they have to get people to come to their console. Like, and, like, I don't know. I mean, it's good for Xbox One gamers.
Yeah. And I don't know. I mean, other than just this game won't get out to a lot of the PlayStation install base, which honestly right now is larger. The PS4 install base right now is a lot larger than the Xbox One install base. And so for that many gamers to not have access to this game, I don't know if it will entice people over to buy a second console or if it'll entice people over to Xbox One versus PS4. I don't know if it'll do that. I think it will. I bet you they'll have a bundle mm-hmm. and I think it will entice people over, but I don't know exactly like whether it's good or bad yet. I don't think that there is like a, yeah. oh, this is terrible for gamers. And I don't think it necessarily is bad, but
we talk about like, you know, system sellers. I don't think that there's, one huge system seller that Microsoft or Sony can say, look, this is what we're hinging our success on. You know, like early on, like I think we in the games media kind of like put that on Titanfall for Xbox One, because like that was the only like exclusive coming out in that time frame.
Right.
You also had Infamous on PS4.
And it was a big shooter.
Like but I think Microsoft is looking at this like, okay, we are going to have as many good exclusives and good games on our platform as we can, and all of this together cumulatively will have an effect on people's purchasing behavior. They'll say, look at all this and take it as a whole, not look at this one game that I really, really want on this one platform. They'll say, look at all these games that I really want on this platform.
For sure, like Sunset Overdrive and all that.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, you're right. They are looking at kind of a long-term goal. And I think that whenever they realized that the PlayStation was selling faster than the Xbox One, I think they kind of changed their focus to like that long game, to where it's this whole console cycle versus...
Well, they have to at this point.
Right, have to. Whereas versus like, hey, it's the first months or whatever. Because I think that early on, Titanfall was that thing where it was like the Xbox guys or the Microsoft was holding out hope for that to sell enough systems to catch up to PlayStation. And it just didn't happen. It didn't, you know, materialize for them. Yeah. So
also Microsoft announced that they have an Evolve beta that's coming exclusively to Xbox One in January.
Ooh, that's
cool.
The game
comes out in February. And we don't know when it's coming out.
It's just quarter.
No,
what is it?
We do know when it's coming out. Okay. February 10th. So okay. I was right.
So you were right the first time.
I was right the first time.
Then you shouldn't second guess yourself, Chris.
So that's cool. I'm excited to play the beta for that game. I think that's smart because when reading all the news from E3 and all that kind of stuff, everyone's kind of like, man, got my hands on Evolve, and it was amazing. And I think they know that that's the key to getting people to buy Evolve, is to get their hands on it.
Yeah.
And then Microsoft says, hey, we want that. And so that's just another thing they're going to add to the pile.
Right. And it's just a similar thing to – it's interesting about the beta stuff, where you have an exclusive beta or an exclusive alpha nowadays, where Destiny was exclusive to – their alpha was exclusive to PlayStation. So was the Hardline beta. You're looking at companies who say, see the value of these betas, and then also you have consoles that see the value of having first access on your console. Not only are you going to get to play it first on that console, and people may buy the console for that, or people may lean towards one console versus the other because of that, but people will also associate that game with your console for the rest of its life cycle.
Yeah.
So like the first time you play it on an Xbox or on a PlayStation, Destiny, PlayStation, man, there you go. You know,
right.
You're going to buy it on PlayStation. So
Sony has also announced that Journey and the Unfinished Swan are going to be ported in 1080p, upgraded visuals, to PS4. So two of you're shaking your head?
No, I'm shaking my head about this. Like, it just flabbergasts
you're
me
like,
a little
no,
bit.
No, that's not true.
I'm just, no, you are lying. No, that's not what I'm saying.
Which, I mean, it's awesome. Okay,
it's
so like,
cool.
This is why I never played either one of those. They were PS3 games. I didn't have a PS3. And so the fact that I can play these now is exciting to me. Same reason why I like the fact that they released Last of Us Remastered.
Right.
I'm being able to play this, is arguably the best game of
last generation.
Mm. I'm playing it because it's on this generation. I don't have to go buy a PS3.
Yeah.
Which is great for me.
Which I guess Journey, especially Journey, and then Unfinished Swan as well, they're some of the most unique games from last gen as well. It's just I the only reason I'm shaking my head is I'm just getting a little bit like worn out of hearing about all of these remakes, and I want to hear more about new games, I guess.
Well, that's the thing. We have so many new games coming out this year. So like,
that's true.
I mean, yeah, they're doing this.
So
but
once September hits, I won't be griping. Is
no,
that what you're
exactly.
Saying? Yeah.
Okay. No, you won't.
I will not be griping.
No, because
Destiny
will be out.
There you go.
Activision has announced a day one bundle for Call of Duty Advanced Warfare, where you get it not on release day. You get it 24 hours earlier.
Don't they call it day zero or something
like
that?
That's what it is, day zero. That's what it's called.
Like, it makes sense that you would call it day one, because it's like you have to pre-order it and buy it on day one for that to happen, but they're calling it day zero.
Day zero. This is wild.
That's nuts. And not only do you get the, and this is what kind of upsets me about, like, the more and more they add on to pre-order bonuses and more they add on to, like, I guess you would call it almost in-app purchase microtransactions. We'll just call it that. You add in these guns. Like, there's going to be two extra guns that you get if you get this Day Zero edition that other people not going to get.
Ever?
I don't know. That's the thing. It's like they'll bring it out as a microtransaction later, but which is what they do a lot of times with maps. Like, last time we got a map, or if you pre-order, or you get something
for Ghosts.
Yeah, you get the
Freefall
free
that you can play.
Yeah, that you could never play for like 6-7 months. They've just recently done a patch where all of those kind of feed in. But yeah, it just kind of frustrates me a little bit that they keep adding on these, like, oh, and if you pre-order, you get this, and you get this, and you get this. And it's like, man, that just means an entire install base of people where you're going to inevitably end up with somebody in your party that doesn't have this.
So I'm not necessarily like, that doesn't bother me as much. Because, you know, like, okay, who's going to buy this game on day one? It's going to be your most dedicated hardcore fans.
That's true.
So it's a way of rewarding. I see it as a way of rewarding your hardcore fans.
That makes sense.
For trusting you in it with another, you know, game right off the bat.
Yeah.
And like, what I don't like necessarily is, I don't like retailer-specific pre-order bonuses.
Ah, yes.
So, like, I always use – the example I use is L.A. Noire. Whenever L.A. Noire came out, there were three different campaign missions that were available as pre-order bonuses. One at GameStop.
Oh, no.
One at Best Buy.
Oh,
and
no.
And one at Amazon.
So, basically, you're just picking the one with the coolest name?
One at Walmart as well.
Oh, gosh. So, you're just picking the coolest name of that for that mission, or
yeah, and you don't know what any of these are about. And what's crazy is, like, I ended up, they ended up coming out, I think, a whole year later as just downloads you could buy, purchase,
right,
from the other retailers, basically.
Gotcha.
And so they end up making money off it later.
Yeah,
and they actually, like, they weren't like pivotal to the story, but a couple of them, like, made you understand a couple aspects of the story a little bit better.
So basically they had the picture of the entire game, and then they took out certain missions and gave them to Target or gave them to Walmart
I think it was three. I think maybe one retailer had the same thing as the other one. I don't remember there being four different, but three different for
that's
sure.
That's so strange.
Yeah, and so, like, that's the kind of stuff that frustrates me. For instance, like, coming up now, a game that I'm really excited for. Two games. I'll give you two more examples.
Yeah.
The Crew.
Yep.
Is coming out. GameStop has a retailer exclusive Ford Mustang, my favorite car in the world. And so obviously I've got to, you know, pre-order it from GameStop so I can drive my Ford Mustang all over the U.S. Alien Isolation, okay?
Oh, gosh, this one's nuts.
If you pre-order it, you get, I forget what it's called, but it's basically, they take all the cast members from the first Alien, and you can play them in basically a piece of the movie, okay?
That was awesome. I mean, that sounds amazing.
That's for any pre-order.
Right.
If you buy it from GameStop, you also get a separate mission where you play as Ripley, and it's later on in the movie as the is the scene that you're playing from there. But that's only at GameStop.
That's really frustrating to me, because I was going to buy both of those games, or a lot of my games that I like to buy. I buy them digitally now. Like, I just like the idea of buying them digitally, but I can't get the Mustang if I buy it digitally.
Well, that's the thing, and that's what they're trying to combat. They're trying to combat now, because digital games are so, like, they're day and date now, like, and they're about to be where you can preload them. On PS4, you're going to be able to preload, and then Microsoft's going to have to do the same thing so they can catch up.
Yeah.
There's literally no reason to go to GameStop at midnight anymore.
Yeah.
Unless they have retailer-exclusive content, you just want to go stand in line with a bunch of sweaty dudes, or you want some kind of physical pre-order bonus. And so I think we will start seeing more physical pre-order bonuses, more retailer-exclusive pre-order bonuses. Both of those.
Yeah, and I don't know. It's a little bit frustrating whenever you have a piece of content that was meant to be in the game that they take out and they save it for GameStop or something like that. Yeah. I don't know. That just seems a little strange to me. But something I did want to ask about the Call of Duty thing was, is this a download that, like, a day early you can download the game and you have access to multiplayer and stuff? Mm. I mean, because obviously you don't get the disc early. Like, if you get a physical copy of that game, is this something where... I don't know. I mean, I'm curious how it works.
I don't know. I don't know if this is all, you know, if this applies to, if the Day Zero edition is only a physical thing, or if you can get a Day Zero if you pre-order it on Because if I can pre-order
even if it is a disc, this is what I'm asking. Like, even
it has to be a pre-order. So,
right.
And I don't think you can pre-order digitally from the Xbox dashboard right now.
No.
And so you'd have to go to GameStop. Or some other retailer to pre-order. Even if they give you a digital download code,
right,
you're still going to their store and buying it through them, I think.
Right. But what happens a day early? Like, do you just get on your Xbox and you can, like,
I think you go to the store and get the disc, or if there's even a, if there is a digital download, you know, like,
gotcha.
You download it early.
So, you know, basically, like, they just said, basically, if you've pre-ordered this, we're releasing it a day early. You know,
yeah, basically. Sort of, yeah, I think that's what it is. Like, yeah. I think every single pre-order has been, quote-unquote, upgraded to the day zero edition. So,
gotcha.
Anytime, you know, like, if you got the special edition with the season pass, gotcha. And there's, like, a limited edition, like, smaller one, like, I think all of those have been upgraded to the, which, I don't know, like, what is that even? I don't know. Basically, you just said I've moved up the release date
right.
of the game.
That's what I was about to say. Like, the release date is completely arbitrary.
I don't think anybody's like wanders into GameStop being like, hey, my friend was playing this Advanced Warfare. Is that available today? No.
Yeah. Nope. Not for another it's 16 just hours.
Something to get people more excited, which I mean, hey, I can play a game one day earlier. Yeah, that excites me. You know, like,
yeah.
Oh, well.
You know.
It worked.
What is it? A Sunday night as opposed to a Monday night
or
whatever?
Which, I mean,
you know.
Man, that makes
Monday morning come awfully early.
Oh my gosh, it's gonna be awful. Xbox has announced, along with the release of Call of Duty Advanced Warfare, and a Call of Duty Advanced Warfare Xbox One bundle. This is the crazy thing, though. Has a 1 terabyte hard drive.
That's nuts.
The 500 gigabyte they currently have.
And some people would argue that they should have launched with 1 terabyte anyway, because those things fill up fast.
I'm already halfway through. Like, my hard drive is halfway full.
Oh, dude. I mean, they fill up really fast, especially if you're downloading, like, demos or downloading anything like that. You know, they fill up fast.
Yeah. It's connectless. They've also announced a White Sunset Overdrive Xbox One bundle. It is connectless as well, but it only has a 500 gigabyte hard drive, which is weird. It's like, if you're going to start, I don't know. You know, they kind of did that with, I think there was a Modern Warfare 3 Xbox 360 that they released that had just a huge hard drive. I think there was a Halo 4 edition that had a huge hard drive.
Right.
And so, like, they've done this kind of stuff before, like, where it's very different hard drives. I guess it's just kind of like, well, these are hardcore gamers, so they're going to use up more space. But
right.
It's like, doesn't everybody want more space?
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I mean, and also you're looking at already costs of producing things with bigger hard drives is going down for people, because obviously if this wasn't cost efficient, if they still didn't make a decent amount of money off of it, they wouldn't be putting in these huge hard drives. So back in the day, whenever this first launched with the new technology and things like that, you're looking at smaller hard drives to keep the costs down.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas now we're looking at, hey, you can slap a, you know, terabyte hard drive in this and it's not that big a deal. The other thing about the 360s was you could change out the hard drive yourself. If I went to go change my hard drive in my Xbox One, I guarantee it would void a couple of warranties, you know?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. You can't change it out. You can't add USB. Or is that it?
Yes, that's.
They have that support
that in,
out there? Okay.
Yeah. It's just specific USB drives.
What's out and what's been announced.
Right. They did that. I think that was the last patch that they did. And they released on like Major Nelson's site a list of hard drives that were approved.
Yeah.
So.
Visceral has talked about their Battlefield Hardline single player campaign. And it's basically they're going to beef it up over previous Battlefield campaigns, which was good. Previous Battlefield campaigns, like, would complete in like 5 hours max.
Yeah.
This is going to take, they said, around more like 15 hours. It's kind of be like a television show where, like, if you leave and you're trying to get out of the game, it'll be like, you know, next time on Battlefield Hardline. And
that's cool.
Whenever you come back from not playing, it'll say previously on this.
But spoilers, man. I mean, it's like, it's going to spoil you on watch, but I guess it amps you up, gets you excited. So,
you know, but how much can a Battlefield campaign actually spoil?
That's true. Well, oh, and a shocking explosion.
Exactly. A building has fallen down.
We're now on an aircraft carrier for some reason.
Yes. The Crew, a game we are both very excited
about. Super excited about.
The only pre-order I have right now for this fall, which I need to fix that situation.
Yes, you do.
Very soon.
Yeah.
But The Crew is also coming to Xbox 360. They've announced. And so, like,
is it going to be a smaller world? Is it going to be a lot of the graphics downplayed? Are there going to be
times? It'll probably be 720p. It'll probably be lower frame rate. Like, it graphically, I think, will be smaller. Ubisoft, they do this well. Like, you know, there was Assassin's Creed 4, and they released, you know, like, the same game on 360. It just doesn't look as pretty.
Right.
They have this year, like, they have two Assassin's Creed games coming out so that they can still have something on last-gen consoles. Like, they do a good job of supporting the last-gen. Yeah. At least they are right now.
For sure.
Because, I mean, and obviously, it makes them more money. There's a huge install base there. And it just won't look as good, probably won't run as well.
Yeah.
And
I appreciate, though, what they were doing with Assassin's Creed in that they had a completely different developer develop a different game.
Well, I think this, I don't think Unity would, I don't think you could pare down Unity enough to actually run on last-gen consoles.
You're right. Yeah, for sure. Because it's just a big open world and you got four players, like multiplayer and stuff. So,
like, there are huge technological advancements they're taking advantage of that they just can't do on last-gen hardware.
And that's kind of nice that the publisher and developer know that, and so they think ahead versus somebody who just changes the experience, makes it a smaller game or something like that, dumbs it down to fit current gen so they can sell more.
Yeah.
They just decide, hey, let's just do two different games.
Last piece of news I have, the one new game that got announced at Gamescom that I am super excited about is Until Dawn. I guess it was announced a long time ago, but it's been reworked and re-scripted, and it's basically a horror movie game. Like, it looks amazing. It looks really cool. I'll put the trailer in on our post on stayontargetpodcast.com, and you should definitely check it out. Like, and I don't know. I've just been in that mood lately. Like, I've been watching rewatching the Alien movies.
Yeah.
I really am excited about Alien Isolation.
It's going to be awesome.
I watched this, and I'm like, I really want to play that. Like, I'm really in this, like, scary movie/horror mood right now for some reason.
Yeah.
I don't know why. But
so I'll just start orchestrating these things in your life that'll scare the crap out of you?
Sure, that'd be... If I sat down and, like, something just, like, grabbed my leg...
I'll hire someone to break into your car and hide in your back seat until you get in there in the morning. Just...
Oh my gosh, that would be insane.
Not even like right away. It'll be like while you're driving on the interstate, you know, you're like getting comfortable, you're jamming to some tunes, and somebody grabs you around your neck or something.
I don't know what I would do. I'd probably the car would probably fly off the road. You'd hear news that there's a 16 car pileup on 840.
And it'd be my fault.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Definitely, you know?
Yeah. So don't do that, please.
I won't do that.
Do you have any additional Gamescom news?
What did you think about Resident Evil, the whole Resident Evil news?
The remake?
Yeah.
Or not remake. Well, not a remake. It's basically...
It's a new game. Like, they've...
What?
Well, it's Hideo Kojima, or Kojima.
Kojima?
Yeah. Is teaming up with Del Toro.
But this is for a movie.
This is for
Silent Hills.
Silent Hills?
Yeah.
So it's not a Silent Hill movie?
It is a Silent Hill movie.
But it's multiple hills?
I guess. I don't know.
That's strange. Anyway, so what do you think about that? I mean, like, we're in this, like, horror.
I don't know.
I thought I'd bring it up.
Hideo Kojima's weird. Well, so.
But Del Toro, I don't know.
Del Toro, he's also weird.
He's also got some strange things.
Yeah, so. I mean, I don't know. Like, that could be good. It could be bad. You know, like, I think, this is my opinion, Kojima takes himself way too seriously, thinks everything that comes out of his mind is gold, and a lot of times it's just a bunch of crap and makes zero sense. So, we'll see. Sorry to all you Metal Gear lovers out there. But we'll see how this turns out. Who knows?
Yeah.
It could be awesome. It could blow all of our minds. We'll see.
Okay. Was there anything that was just a big shocker? Like, I think you and I had talked about how we had hoped in our deepest souls about Red Dead Redemption being announced.
I always hope at every event.
Every morning you wake up and you say... I hope that Red Dead Redemption 2 is announced today.
First thought that crosses my mind. I honestly don't think we'll see any kind of a new game announcement from Rockstar until after GTA 5 has released this fall on next gen consoles.
Yeah.
I know that they have said, or like earlier this year, in an earnings call, they said something like, "We have a big fourth quarter release," and I honestly think that's the one that they are talking about, because they're still talking it up. They were talking it up this week.
Being GTA 5.
Everyone's gonna be blown away at how good this looks on next gen consoles. What my biggest, deepest fear about this game, though, is that it's going to look worse and run worse on Xbox One. And I'm gonna have to play it on PS4.
Interesting. I have to play it on.
Well, I don't. I like my PS4, and I'm really glad that I have it, and it looks pretty and has great games. But like,
You've got gamer score invested.
I've got gamer score invested. I've got like friends list for like if anybody else is playing GTA Online. Like, so like I have a lot more friends on Xbox. I like the controller a lot better. Like, I really want that to run at least, you know, close to the same on Xbox One as it does on PS4.
Right on. Right on. So in other words, you need more PlayStation friends.
Sure. Yes. So find me. I am Stardust250250. Send me a friend request on PlayStation and maybe we can play some stuff.
That'd be awesome. Everybody should do that.
And that's the news. All right, John.
Okay.
It's time.
It's time for what, Chris?
Talk about the Ninja Turtles.
The Ninja Turtles!
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Turtles in a half shell.
Turtle power!
Turtle power.
There you go. Now that we got that out of the way.
Yes.
Okay, so again, we're going to do like a spoiler-free section of this thing, and then we will dip into the spoilers later on in the show.
We'll jump right into the spoiler pool.
So, Chris.
Yeah.
Going into this film, what did you expect?
So, I'm going to tell you right now, my expectations were good or low.
Okay.
and honestly, like the reason, so this is, let's give some backstory as to why we were reviewing this movie a week late.
Yeah.
We have been reviewing movies that like, oh man, I'm really excited about this movie because we think it's going to be a good movie, so I'm going to go see it.
Right.
And so we review it. And so as a result, we haven't really reviewed a movie that we've rated, you know, like super low. And so, why are you laughing?
I'm spilling water all over myself.
Yeah, I mean, you are. I mean, you have a drinking problem, apparently.
Apparently, with this water here. okay, yes.
And so, like, we were like, okay, well, and I was sitting there this whole weekend, and I was like, I wonder if this movie's any good. I wish someone I trusted would go see this movie and tell me whether or not to go.
Well, there it is, Chris.
And so I was like, well, maybe we should review it so that people...
So we decided to be that trusted source for people.
We are your trusted friend.
Yes. You can trust us to go see these movies that you're
wondering
about.
Yes or no.
Yes.
Yay or nay.
All right. So going into this, I also had very low expectations.
Yeah.
But basically just based on the trailers, I mean, it was just kind of like I've always looked at the trailers and it's like I've always been fairly positive about it because I like to be pretty positive about movies where it's like a lot of people will be like, oh, the turtles, they look really dumb or they, you know, or whatever.
Yeah.
Superman, he's going to be a dark Superman. Or I always try to like keep a positive outlook on a film until I see it and try to keep upbeat about it.
Right.
But I did have fairly low expectations based on a lot of the trailer things and also based on some of like the Transformers, I mean, films and things like that. I mean, while Michael Bay didn't direct this one,
right,
he was attached to it.
Right, he's a producer, actually a producer, and I think executive producer as well.
So that keeping that in mind, it's like while I really have enjoyed some of the Transformers films, they also have these weird missteps sometimes.
Yeah,
Transformers 2, anyone? And so like, I was kind of like, I had these concerns about it that are just kind of floating under the surface. And so that's kind of how I went into the film with like concerns, but not necessarily like going in with this like downer mind.
Right.
So, yeah.
So, let's talk about for a second, let's talk about the turtles.
Okay.
I liked the turtles.
Yeah.
I thought that, they were played really, really well.
I thought that's one of the things they got right. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and what's weird is whenever I'm sitting here looking at the cast, so they had a mocap actor, then they had a voice actor.
How do you mocap something that's like 40 feet tall, like however tall they were, 10 feet
so
tall?
Leonardo was the voice of, Johnny Knoxville was the voice of Leonardo.
Right.
That's what I was trying to say. Tony Shalhoub was the voice of Splinter. Where are the rest of the voices? Come on, IMDb.
I mean, they're the four main characters.
Well, they're not
aside
first.
From main. Well, Megan Fox would be first, and so would what's his name? Will Arnett. Which I still don't know his character name. So if you see that, tell me.
Oh.
And because I will keep calling him Will the whole time.
Vernon. Did we hear his name ever?
I think she called him Vernon one time, but I immediately, as soon as she called him that, I said, I'm not going to remember that. He's just Will for the rest of the movie.
Those are the two biggest voice actors for the Turtles. But I thought, like, their voices, like, they did a great job. Like, I really, really liked the interaction between the Turtles.
Yeah.
I liked, you know, like, there were several times whenever they would like kind of rib each other good-naturedly. They would get frustrated with each other. They would be emotional. And like, I thought that they connected in the, like their relationship was honestly the best part about the movie.
Yeah. I agree with that, where I feel like there was key specific moments where they 100% nailed that, the interplay that we've seen before from the Turtles. And,
yeah.
and it, the Turtles at their best, they're a team. Yeah. And so you can almost view them as different personalities of the same unit or of mm-hmm. the same character, that type of thing. So I like whenever they're skateboarding through this tunnel or whatever, there's just really cool moments where you just mm-hmm. feel it, where you where you're like, yeah, these guys are just, they're awesome, they're the Ninja Turtles.
Yeah.
The thing that I didn't wasn't sold on was them being 10 feet tall or whatever.
Yeah. I'm, oh, they're 8 feet tall, they
whatever
said.
It was. Which, 8 feet.
Okay. Yeah, they said specifically 8 feet, and that's, you know, that's fine.
What, that they was, take out a like a thing and measure while they were jumping on rooftops, or
that was a that was a something that they changed for this movie. I mean, I don't really care. Like, yeah. you know, whatever.
Yeah.
They're not, they don't have to be men. I think, you know, the only reason they were man-sized before is because they were people in turtle suits.
Well, I mean, like the original material has them as like men-sized,
right.
like from the comic book right. back in the day, which that iteration, like if you want to be get down to like core facts or whatever, I mean, that iteration is vastly different from any of the other iterations that they've had. So
right.
it's like keeping true to an original source isn't really necessarily like a thing in my mind.
Right.
But I, just with them being that big, it almost came down to less of skill. The only people I felt like could go up against them was Shredder. Yeah. And which,
we'll talk about later.
Yeah, we'll talk about that later. So,
I thought that it looked very. I liked the style of the movie. Like,
yeah.
some cinematography was really good, and some was just kind of like, I don't know about that.
Right.
Jonathan Liebsman was the director, and so like he did. I think he did a good job. There were a couple times where it was kind of like, that's a Michael Bay shot. Like,
yeah.
Where he's definitely imitating Michael Bay.
Yeah.
I will say like the pieces that looked the best. You know, like there's a subway sequence that looked really cool. It's got kind of like a fight slash horror kind of like feel to it.
That was really cool.
There's a part like in the trailer you saw them like sliding down a mountain on their backs. Like that whole sequence is really cool.
Yeah.
Visually, most of that's CG, but there's like some really cool things that happen in that sequence that I really, really liked. Like that was the most exciting part about the movie.
Man. So cool.
I will say, and hopefully this isn't, you can tell me if this spoils anything.
Okay.
It starts off real slow.
Mm, that doesn't spoil anything.
And stays slow till almost an hour in. Like about just a little over halfway through the movie. Like I looked at my watch and I was like, holy cow.
Yeah.
Like there's some things that happen, but like it's – and then like once that hits, it's like off to the races.
Yeah.
And so like for – I mean they're billing this as a kid's movie. You know, like this is for, you know, like, you know, older children who want to go see this movie.
13-year-old kids.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. And I don't know. Like, there's so much story exposition that happened in the first, like, and it's there's like three or four different, like, backstories, the way that they told this. They told
right.
it kind of out of order. And so I don't know.
Which,
like, I got bored.
Which, honestly, like, the whole out of order thing has become a very, like, superhero or comic book kind of movie trope almost.
Thank you, David Goyer.
Yeah, where, like, you're expected to tell, like, every hero or every comic book person that's represented on the silver screen has to have this really convoluted, confusing backstory that is told in layers, you know. And but it's like that really frustrates me about yeah. like a lot of these movies, because the Ninja Turtles, it's kind of a simple story.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, it really kind of
but
is.
It took them an hour to tell,
right? And so yeah, but that also, yes, I agree, it was kind of slow. But
so that goes to the writing. So like that yeah. was my take on the writing portion of this.
Yeah. And there were some, like, you know, and not being spoilerish about anything, there were a little like some confusing spots where something would happen, you'd be like, wait a second, why
yeah.
or why not, a lot of times,
right.
we would say some stuff like that. So the one standout that I had about the film that was a concern going in,
mm-hmm.
but actually like really won me over,
mm-hmm.
was April O'Neil, was Megan Fox as
yeah.
April O'Neil.
I think,
like,
she did a good job.
I had major concerns about this going in.
Right.
And where it was like, man, April O'Neil isn't, you know, I just had these concerns going into this.
Yeah.
But it's like she delivered, and
yeah.
she really captured that role.
Yeah.
So
I will say, like, the humor, it it left a lot to be...
It was hit or miss, and a lot of it was missed.
I think I laughed out loud maybe three times in the whole movie. Yeah. And, like, a lot of the... Like, what was frustrating is a lot of the humor, and this goes back to writing again, a lot of the humor had to do with Megan Fox and how hot she is.
I was about to say, like, that was the most... From the very beginning of the movie all the way to the end, like, you're harping on this, mm-hmm. and it was really weird that a lot of the male characters in this, like, she doesn't view it that way. It's like, and she would, like, it was
she
like
never
a,
responded
it was a non-reaction,
to it. Exactly.
Which is exactly like the normal, like, that's she was a normal human being in this,
right?
But I almost think that, like, that writing just really is very strange on the male side of things, where it was just like they kept bringing it up and they kept, like, different characters and stuff, and it's like,
well, it was
come
there
on,
for,
guys.
It was there for comedic relief. But it just never hit right, ever.
It always felt like objectification.
There was one time at the end whenever it kind of hit right, because it was this big kind of like thing. We can talk about that in a second. But
yeah.
Like, you know, like, it just didn't feel right. And then the humor, like, they would jab back and forth, but, like, that was the only humor in it.
There was a fart joke too, which I really like. It totally missed. It was like, whatever. Yeah. It harkened back to Transformers 2 again, where, like, you have these really weird, yes, awkward, you know, immature jokes and that sort of thing. So I don't know. It's it like the humor, like you said, is just very, you know, hit or miss, and most of it was a miss.
Yeah. Yeah, and so, you know, like, that's the music. Let's talk about the music. Like,
yeah,
the music was okay. And, yeah, like, the theme was cool, but, yeah, then it basically kind of just repeats the entire time.
Yeah, the theme was awesome. Like, early on, you have this kind of comic booky kind of looking montage early, uh-huh, on, where it's kind of telling some backstory or whatever. But the music during that section was amazing. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I had these huge high hopes for the music, but then I kind of lost it, like, where it just didn't occur to me that the soundtrack was there until the credits came back and there was that theme again.
Right.
So I think that they had, like, one good theme, and then they did a bunch of variations of, yeah, that theme throughout that just kind of amped up the action, didn't ever stand out, never really, you know, made your emotions go crazy or anything.
Right.
But then they put it in at the end again. So it's like, I feel like they had one good idea, but then, you know, they took it a little bit and stretched it too thin.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought, overall, like, you know, it was an okay movie.
Yeah.
If you like the Ninja Turtles, go see it.
Yeah.
If you don't, you know, you probably have no desire to go see this movie.
I will add an asterisk to, yeah, your thought of,
okay,
if you enjoy the Ninja Turtles, go see. If you are a quote Ninja Turtles purist,
yeah, don't go see this.
Don't
movie.
Go see this movie, because you're going to be, you will be most impressed by the interaction between the turtles, but the presentation and all of these things will be just enough to where you'll be super frustrated the whole time. And yeah, so I mean, like, yeah, if you're a purist whenever it comes to, like, the old cartoon, or again, the original comic book back in the 80s or whatever, don't go see it, because you're going to be disappointed. So
yeah, or even the movies,
or even the Nintendo show that's on Nickelodeon right now. That's amazing. It's,
yeah,
a great representation of the turtles.
Yeah.
Watch that. Don't you know, necessarily go and just assume that this is the definitive,
right,
version of the turtles.
If you want to still, like, if you want to stay up on, like, hey, this is what they're doing with the turtles, because there's going to be a second one. They've already announced,
yeah,
the movie had just come out and they announced that there's a second one.
Feels like that's happening more and more. Like, Guardians of the Galaxy hadn't even come out,
right,
and they announced the second one.
That's true. I think they just needed to see, like, first night sales to know, okay, we can come out with this.
We can
one.
Do this, guys.
Yeah, we can do it. Green light.
We can make this budget happen, you know?
So. Yeah. So I say, you know, go see it. Oh, well, this is the other thing. It's worth a rental for sure.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like, eventually, whenever it comes out on Blu-ray.
Yeah.
Like, if you don't go see it in theaters, or, you know, just so you can be part of the conversation and know what the turtles are up to.
Yeah.
In the movie version. Yeah, like, go, you know, rent it. I don't know if it's worth a $9 ticket.
Definitely not. Not if you have to, like, do that in popcorn and stuff. It's like, I would say it's probably not worth the $9 ticket if you're not a huge Ninja Turtles fan and okay with this, you know, version or whatever.
Right.
So. Yeah.
So the spoiler clock's counting down.
It sure is.
It was
kind
of short last time for Guardians of the Galaxy. Almost caught some people.
Oh, really?
Off guard. Yeah.
People were saying that?
We were like, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Well, I feel like it was there, you know?
It was there, yes, but this time we're giving you a little more leeway.
Yeah,
so turn this off if you don't want to be spoiled on Ninja Turtles.
All right, we're coming down in five,
four,
three,
two,
one.
Spoil us!
I don't even know. Like, how do I spoil this? Splinter almost dies. There we go.
There's a spoiler.
That's it.
That was kind of lame.
Dude, well, like, that's how I feel. Like almost all of this stuff.
Almost dies.
He almost dies. Well, like, we don't even know about Shredder at the end. Like, does he die at the end?
Yeah, we never saw him actually die.
I mean, he's in that big mech suit. And he got the mutagen.
He touched the mutagen.
But how does he get away? How does he escape from, you know, prison or whatever they put him in after this? I don't know. Anyway.
Who knows, dude? Were they implying that we didn't see him in shackles going to prison?
That's true, but what does he do? He's like laying on the ground. He just fell from a skyscraper. I don't know.
I think they were trying to make you believe that he just kind of like, the mutagen, and he touches it.
And it heals him?
Dies. Oh, and you can't just touch it. You have to inject it.
Oh. You think that he died then?
I think he died. I think they want you to believe that he died. Maybe they'll bring him back later.
I don't know. I mean, we never saw like his legit face, like in full lighting. We always saw this weird side lit
shadows
face. You know, so like I don't know. I feel like a big reveal would be awesome of him outside of his suit.
Why do we need to see that, though?
I don't know. That's a good point.
So let's go backwards, basically. Okay. So the full first hour, like we start off with this cool animation that was cool. It told kind of like this part of the story where somehow. Splinter knows that Shredder is not to be messed with.
Right.
And then we go into April O'Neil, kind of like present day stuff. We see the turtles in present day. And then we jump back to see the origin of the turtles. And then we get privy to an explainer sequence where Splinter tells all the turtles why Shredder and the other guy want to wipe out New York. And at that point, you're an hour in.
Yeah. Oh, dude, it's crazy.
That's a lot of exposition.
Well, and also, like, you look at Shredder, we never really got a full explanation as to who Shredder really, like, what's his end game here? You know, it's like, other than making this dude a bunch of money and getting, you know, we don't don't know what his end game is here. It's like, I'm going to be the most powerful being ever, and you're going to have a lot of money. And it's like, but how does that happen?
In what realm
of possibility is this?
There's this big speech to the foot soldiers at the beginning. I think wasn't it Shredder? He was saying something like, we will once again control the city. Like, when did you control the city before?
Right.
I don't remember this.
This wasn't in any of the exposition, and we had three exposition sections.
It was Eric Sachs is the other guy, played by William Fichtner.
So I just feel like that was the story, like with a lot of like some of the characters, like Will Arnett's character, where it's like almost why were they there? Like I almost feel like it would have it would have hurt worse if you just cut out this middle guy, the Eric Sachs guy, and made Shredder the guy.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, of course he can't be really a good front man because he's got all, you know, he's pure evil. But I mean, it's just it would have hurt worse if, you know.
So the characters made sense as far as who played, like who was interacting with who, you know, because Eric Sachs was funding Shredder's army, giving him access to all of the security cameras and all the kind of stuff that he was supplying to the city because he's contracting with the city to provide security.
Yeah.
From the people that he actually like is in bed with.
Right.
Not actually sleeping with, but like he's working with.
Yes.
And then you had – the reason you had to have those two connected is so that April O'Neil could go to Sachs.
Yeah. Who isn't –
She could lead him to the turtles so that Shredder could go to the turtles.
So it's like this really twisted, like these odd relationships that are really strange. Like, and the whole thing of how does Splinter know that Shredder is pure evil?
I don't know. That's what I'm saying. Like, how did he know he existed? And they don't explain that kind of stuff.
And he says,
how did he know that Eric Sachs had trained under him in Japan?
Right. And he was like remembering the day of the fire, which was the day that April O'Neil like released him and the turtles into the wild or whatever.
Yeah.
He was remembering that day like it was through a fog or something.
Yeah.
And so if that was through a fog, something previous to that, saying that Splinter or saying that, that Shredder was evil and all this stuff happened. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't that be even more of a fog?
Yeah.
I don't even know.
So this is also – so like there's another plot hole in that like – okay, there's a couple things. First, whenever April O'Neil runs into the fire and saves the turtles and the rat, supposedly her father's just laying there getting burned alive in this fire. How could he not make it out?
Well,
and she be able to run in, get them, and get out?
Well,
and then also not save her father if he's in there.
That timeline doesn't. You're right. That timeline doesn't make much sense.
But then Eric Sachs says that he shot his her father, killed her father,
because he came in while he was doing some while he was doing the end game or like getting the mutagen or something like this. Like he came in and it came in on him while he was working on this evil project.
Yeah, and then
he shot him. So it's like that must have happened after he set the fire and stuff. So he had to know that he was evil before he walked in on him doing something that was evil.
Splinter said he died, like her father died trying to destroy the things he had created.
Dude, yes, you're right. So, it's all very. There are multiple things that are unexplained.
Here's my only other problem. Okay, so like, Shredder goes after the turtles.
Yes,
because he wants what's in their blood, the mutagen in their blood.
Yep.
Okay. He has Splinter in his hand.
Yep.
Splinter has the same mutagen in his blood.
This is true.
As the turtles do.
Well, maybe. We don't know what the extent of these experiments. Maybe it was a different version of the mutagen.
That makes no sense.
Yeah, I know.
I'm
explaining this to you, and I still don't believe myself. So that explains.
They all have the same because they give. The same mutagen that was in their blood to Splinter at the end to heal him.
Well, and also like my big thing with that whole sequence was after he captures them and puts them in these containers and drains their blood and is going to kill them.
Yeah.
No, it's this Bond moment where nobody sticks around to see if they actually die.
Oh, this is okay.
And so, Shredder, like, he cracks Raphael's shell, and he doesn't finish him off. Nobody even stops him from finishing him off. He just leaves him there.
Yeah, he just leaves him there. Well, where was the Foot Clan? Why did they leave as soon as like, oh man, things are going down. Let's get out of here.
They didn't leave because they came down the mountain after them.
Right, but they left the room.
Why would they leave the room?
Oh, yeah. The turtles are. A turtle is here. Let's leave the room.
Yeah, turtle is here smashing stuff.
Yeah. Oh, and April O'Neil, like that allows them to get the other turtles out and all that kind of stuff.
Right. And like Shredder walks away. Like he literally has him right where he wants him. And then he walks away. It's like, what has he got? Somewhere to be? What, you can't delay poisoning the city 5 minutes for you to finish this dude?
He has a dinner date.
I don't know, man. This is very strange. Anyway, and the other thing, like Karai as a bad guy. Karai is an awesome bad guy in a lot of the different versions. And she was the leader of the Foot Clan.
Right.
But it's like in this version, she was just like she was getting tossed around. It's like she wasn't a threat at all.
Yeah. Well, this is another thing I didn't like about. Oh, so we have 8 foot tall turtles.
Yeah.
That are huge. 4 of them.
Yep.
And they cannot overpower Shredder.
Well, Shredder is just like he's so much more of a ninja than them.
Even so, I mean, he's always been smaller than them.
See, that's always been the case. Well, no, that's true. He's always been bigger than them before.
Well, he was smaller than them in this one.
Right. No, and that was the biggest thing that I had. It's like ninjas, 8 foot tall ninjas. Like ninjas are supposed to be pretty like quiet and silent. Yeah, it's like and they defeat people by like deception or they defeat people by, you know, whatever, by stealth.
Mm-hmm.
These guys.
They're
first
clomping
of all,
around.
You can't be stealthy if you're 8 feet tall.
Right.
And the only way they defeated people in this, I felt like, other than Shredder, was just by kind of brute force. Like, they just ran people over.
Yeah,
like,
for sure.
You know, like the first scene, you see them, they move this gigantic metal, like, thing.
Yeah, kind of like the Hulk. They're like big Hulks. That's the thing.
Dude, I'd love to see a fight between these guys and the Hulk.
One. I think it was Donatello smashes these Foot Clan people with this big shipping container on the dock, but they can't do anything like that for Shredder. Like they can't just smash him with a shipping container.
But he's got that big mech suit, Chris.
I mean,
with the cool magnetic knives.
That was another thing too. Like he's not really beating them with his skill. He's beating them with some technological innovation.
Yeah. And that's the biggest thing I had against like the 8 feet tall turtles was just the fact that like you look at it and you're like, man, these guys aren't really like wispy ninjas at all.
Yeah. I think we kind of brushed on that in the non-spoiler part. The 8 feet tall could have been in the I don't know. A lot of this has been spoilerish though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, but something I do want to say about the the action in this thing.
Yeah.
You said once it got going, it really got going. And I agree with that, except for the final battle. The final battle seemed like it was missing one last thing.
Yeah.
And they tried to do it. They tried to, because like in action movies, you always want there to be that one last, like, mm-hmm. it's like in Die Hard, where like he comes in and it's like he's got nothing, but he's got something duct taped to it, you know.
Yep.
It's like that last moment. My gosh, and they tried to do it. They tried to do it whenever he crawled back, Shredder crawled back up the building, and it's like, you guys didn't get him.
Yeah.
You know, and they tried to do it there, but it just didn't come off to me. Like, it didn't feel like they really overcame all of this, you know, antagonism.
The bigger issue that they did do well, though, with this was they learned how to work more as a team.
Yes.
You know, in that, like, they did the whole, like, early on, Shredder had them balancing, I forget what he called it, but they were balancing things and doing ping pong balls.
In, like, that room, yeah.
And he said, you know, like, you know, don't, what did he keep saying? Don't fall or something like that. Like, whoever lets down first, you know, like.
Right.
And they were holding that tower up, and they said the same thing. So there's a good parallel there.
Yeah.
I also liked how they had shown, like, whenever he was just randomly talking about them growing up, in one of those, you know, exposition sequences, they played this game called Buckets or something like that, where they would, like, jump on each other's backs, and they didn't do it right.
That was nice.
And then they did that at the end to defeat Shredder.
Yeah.
And then there's this big speech from Michelangelo about how, you know, like, he loved them and
Raphael, you mean?
Raphael, yeah, sorry. Raphael, and he loved them, and they were his brothers. They worked so much better together as a team, and he didn't like, you know, he was acting out earlier because he was actually scared that he wasn't good enough. Like,
yeah, that was awesome.
Cool stuff there.
Yeah.
So I did like that. Like, I think it was a better, you know, like, let's compare it. Spoilers for Guardians of the Galaxy for a second. If you haven't seen Guardians of the Galaxy. Skip forward 30 seconds.
Yeah.
It was a better final battle than in Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah.
Which was a non-battle.
Yeah. But it was also, And that's something, you know, that whenever you look at this movie over time, like, they were more individuals whenever they were dealing with things early on. And then through the whole snow sequence where they're sliding down the hill and stuff, they start working together more.
Yeah.
They start, you know, hey, hold on. Hey, I'm going to rescue this person. They needed each other a lot more. So that was really nice. Yeah, that's a good, very good point about that overarching kind of theme of, hey, we have to unite in order to defeat this, or in order to succeed, we have to be together. Mm-hmm. I felt like early on in this film, it was more of a April O'Neil movie than it was a Turtles movie, which is interesting. And I, like I said, it's like it sold me on the character, sold me on Megan Fox as that character. And so for her story arc, for her money, she was, you know, looking for like a family almost, where she was looking for a
family,
place,
but a
place where she, like, she could be understood.
Yeah. And she was kind of like, she wanted fulfillment in her work. I still, like, does she even have a job? Any, even, like, she didn't tell anybody about
the
him.
Same thing at the end.
So, I mean, like, has she really, like, achieved her objective?
Yeah. Well, and it's also, like, something that is very strange about her character, and this was a writing thing or maybe a directing thing. After she kind of discovered the Turtles and realized her life was in jeopardy, she kind of didn't pull out her cell phone or didn't, like, do anything journalistic until we're sliding down this mountain and we can make another hot joke out of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, that was really weird to me, where it's like, okay, you know, what are we doing here? What's her character's main purpose here? Is it to, you know, prove a point of, hey, I'm a serious journalist, or are we, because we would have put this together earlier, or are we just kind of here to perpetuate the plot or whatever? So I did think that they could have wrapped her up a little bit better with that earlier storyline at the end, because it kind of switched gears. It went from a April O'Neil movie and switched gears into a Turtles movie.
Right. Which is,
both
is
of
fine.
Which were decent movies, I guess, but it's like, I almost wanted to see resolution on her end. So
yeah, it would have been cool to see her move more into a, you know, like, relationship with the Turtles that, like, a Peter Parker has with Spider-Man, you know, where, like, hey, he provides all the photos of Spider-Man. But I guess if they're wanting the Turtles to stay pretty much unknown and underground at this point, then it's like, well, you can't really out them if you're their friend.
Right.
So, and you know, I don't know what that would do anyway, like, just make people search through the sewers for these guys, or, you know, make them I also thought it was really funny after, like, okay, being an Arrow fan, so at the beginning they kept talking about the vigilante.
Yeah, that was really funny. Well, he also the Batman voice. Yeah, you know, he's like, he's got Batman voice. I've only seen Batman once.
A lot of good, like, pop culture references in this.
And,
like,
yeah.
You know, they thought she was a Jedi, and, like, he, like, one of the confessions at the end was, I didn't understand the ending of Lost.
Yeah, that was awesome.
And so, like, there were some really good references in this movie, which I did appreciate.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I liked this section early on, I guess, one of those exposition sections where they have the mirror and they're watching TV on the street through the drain or whatever.
That's hilarious.
I thought that was awesome, that it's, like, all of their pop culture knowledge and all of their – basically any of their interactions with themselves, like, with their as brothers or with other people has come from watching television. So you get this really awkward, really weird sense of – what is appropriate and not appropriate from the Turtles.
Right, yeah. That's true. And eventually they have, like, all these computers, and I'm sure they have television down the sewers.
Right.
They obviously get Pizza Hut deliveries.
Yeah, well, they're watching that cat video too.
How do they just pay online? I don't know if you can pay online for Pizza Hut.
Yeah, you can. You can.
Does
you can
Splinter go just, out and like
just,
grab it?
I don't even know. Like, just drop it off at the drain or something. Yeah. I don't know. It's
a funny product placement. There's also funny product placement later for Victoria's Secret. Like, right after the credits, two of the Turtles, I don't even remember who it was, were sneaking around on this billboard, and they hide on the Victoria's Secret model's boobs. It was funny.
Yeah.
It made me laugh.
Well, it's like, yeah. And it was like we said while we were sitting there that Michael Bay and his films and stuff, I've always seen placements for Victoria's Secret in his right. in his stuff. But, like, they did, like, lots of licensing. They had a Skype call. That was a weird placement. Yeah.
And they had, like, a Windows tablet, like, I think it was Windows 8 thing that April O'Neil was using.
Windows and Microsoft always does the placements with and it's like, you know, people would probably have their iPad, not their Surface.
Right.
You know?
Exactly. But, right. Yeah, and it's always like these weird close-up shots, although it wasn't necessarily.
No, it wasn't in this one.
So I really liked the sequence when they were sliding down the hill.
Man, let's talk about that for a second.
It was exciting, and, like, whenever they were sliding and going back and forth, like, the truck was going over them.
Yeah.
And, like, that was really cool. Visually, just, like, it was fun. It was funny. Like, that was the my favorite part of the movie, I think.
I definitely think that was the highlight for sure. That was the moment where, like, I was in it and I didn't think of anything other than what was going on. It was like, it was the most well orchestrated thing where it was like, I kind of lost myself in that 5 minutes or however long that was, where it's like the rest of the movie, I kind of was aware that it was a film or that it was a movie or mm-hmm. whatever. But during that sequence, I was kind of invested, you know, it was just, mm-hmm. that's the biggest thing. Whenever you go see a film, can you suspend, you know, your sense of what's going on around you or the theater or, like, mm-hmm. whatever. And that sequence had it for me. Like, that sequence was very well done.
Yeah.
It was action packed and it, you know, had a story to it. It had a development from, hey, let's get down this hill. We had a clear purpose of where we were going. And it was interesting to see them outside of the city as well, which is awesome.
Yeah. So we ready to rate this thing?
I'm ready to rate it.
I rate this, I think I'm going to rate it a solid 6.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
Yeah.
That's exactly. And it's just okay. You know, it's like, again, if you really enjoy, you know, Turtles and Turtles stuff and aren't crazy about it, you know.
Yes, you're right. Take into account our the things we said earlier about, like, who's going to like this movie, okay?
Yeah.
Those people who want to go see this movie will consider this movie a 6.
Yes.
Okay. If you don't like the Turtles, if you're not one of the people we talked about earlier,
yep.
This is going to be way lower for you.
Yeah. Like, lower.
Yeah.
Or, like, again, if you're a really, like, if you're a hard noser with, like, oh, is it, you know, ruining my childhood or, like, whatever, you know, then
yes.
You're going to hate this film. You're going to hate it.
It's going to be a 0.
It's going to be for sure a 0.
Yeah. So, like, just take that into account. If you are one of the people who we said, unless you're this person, don't go see this movie. If you're the person who wants to go see this movie, should go see this movie.
Yeah.
It's going to be a 6 for you.
For sure.
I will say it wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
Or, like, I was, okay, not I thought it was going to be. It wasn't as bad as I was prepared for it to be.
Yes.
I was going okay mentally and emotionally if I walked out of the theater and said, that was a bad movie.
Right. I was ready for that. And that didn't happen. And so I was ready to not be sold on so many things about it. And so there were some things that really surprised me about how well they did. And yeah, so that's my rating.
Yeah. Well, that's it for this week. I don't know what's coming up next week, but we'll have some exciting topics to cover. We have a lot of games coming up this fall, so we'll have some game reviews later on. Man, like, it's going to be a lot.
Just jam-packed with games.
Jam-packed.
Jam-packed.
And, yeah, you can hit us up on our gaming systems and play if you want to. You can find me at Stardust250250.
You can find me at Labella 6. That's Labella 6.
Yeah. And so the number 6.
The number 6, yes. Yeah.
So, like, follow us on Xbox One, see what we're playing. Find me on PS4 and play some things with me because I have, like, 2 friends.
Yeah.
And yeah. Twitter.
JohnWright777.
ChrisWright250.
And always online at stayontargetpodcast.com. And again...
That's right, John.
That's right. That's right. And again, if we talked about anything in this thing, make sure you guys head over to stayontargetpodcast.com and check it out in the show notes.
Yep. That's it for this week. We'll see you next time on Stay on Target.